futuro.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino Rebels Radio. I'm your host, Julio Ricardo Varela, founder of Latino Rebels. Been doing this since 2014. I got a reminder about that. So we're entering our ninth year as a podcast. What about that, huh? Listen, we want to shift attention to Peru. A lot has been happening in that country recently. A political crisis is happening in Peru following the ouster and arrest of President Pedro Castillo last month. I'm sure there's a lot of Americans out there who have no idea what's going on in Peru, but that's what happened. As recently as this week, at least 50 people have died in protests against the government in what supporters of Castillo have called an unjust removal of power. So really want to get into this latest round of political instability that is happening in Peru, how it sort of signals the fragility of democracy in the country that has now seen its 11th president. That's right, 11 since 2011. So don't want to simplify this take, but really want to get into a deeper conversation. And I have a fabulous guest from Lima, Peru, who is joining me via technology and the telephone. Fabulous guest from Peru. Please introduce yourself and what you do.
Hi, my name is Roger Merino. I am professor of political science and public policy at Universidad del Pacífico in Lima, Peru.
Welcome to the show. Bienvenido. Let's get right into it, Roger. Before we dive deep into the larger picture of sort of what has become political instability over the years in Peru, can you tell us the latest about the protests on the ground and the government's decision to use emergency decrees to deploy the military?
Yes. Well, as you know, Pedro Castillo was impeached by the Congress after a year of a political struggle between the government and the opposition blocs and the media as well. In Lima specifically, the opposition was very strong. Obviously, Castillo was not a great president from the beginning. He made very obscure alliances with any political group that can ensure some support. So Castillo was not a great president, I would say that. He wasn't a left leader. He just wanted to survive in the political struggle. So it was 1 year of political battle in the Congress. But Castillo decided to close the Congress in a very irrational decision. It was a attempt of a coup. And the Congress, with this attempt of a coup, have the legal justification for remove Castillo. And the Congress removed Castillo in an impeachment. This created a situation in which all the people that supported Castillo, especially from the rural areas, they protest very strong way against this decision of the Congress. And the new president is Dina Boluarte. It was the vice president. Instead of trying to dialogue with the people, to have inclusive discourse and social orientation agenda, the first discourse that she proposed was to criminalize any attempt of protest. His first minister just said that the protesters were terrorists, they were like criminals, and this just created a situation in which most people were very angry about this aggressive position of the new government. So in the first 2 weeks, 20 people died in protest. And this is going on just today. So the repression is going in a very tragic way. So I think that in the last year, we are playing a very dangerous democratic game. So no people in the Congress or very small sector were like trying to respect the popular vote. They just trying to remove the president, even though they were, as I said, he was in the a great leader.
Yeah.
In any way.
There's a lot there that what you mentioned, but one of the two things, and I actually wrote about Castillo for MSNBC last year, saying what kind of leftist is he going to be? And I think, you know, given his sort of rise in popularity and how he kind of came from nowhere, right? He came from outside the urban center of Lima, that it wasn't for him to actually govern. He kind of had to please the left, but also please sort of the urban center of Lima. And it just didn't work out. It was very political. And just another example of the instability that's happening in the country. I want to get your take on the opposition, mostly coming from the right wing in Peru, that Castillo was fighting against. But to kind of give this context, we actually spoke in August of 2021 with Peruvian sociologist Francesca Emanuele on Latino Rebels Radio. And here's what she said on the threat of impeachment before Pedro Castillo even took office. So let's take a listen.
Yeah, this is what the right-wing forces are discussing right now. They want to start a process of impeachment against Castillo. They tried to flip the results and call for new elections in the past few weeks. They couldn't do it. And now they have said publicly that they want to start impeachment process to overthrow Castillo. This process was used in November last year to oust the former president.
So that was, just to give some context, that was a clip from 2021. And Francesca was talking about a previous impeachment in 2020. So, Roger, how much of this that we're seeing as part of the Peruvian right wing, you know, by extension, Fujimorismo, and how much is it Castillo sort of not aligning himself with, I would say, the Peruvian left? You know what I mean? Like, how can you break this down for audiences in the United States for them to understand this?
Okay, we have to understand that Peruvian democracy is very fragile, precarious. After the 20 year of authoritarian government of Fujimori, it ends in 2000 with a transition government of Valentin Paniagua. And the promise was that we will get a good democracy with legitimate players from the left, from the right. But it was not the case. Post-Fujimori governments didn't change the political economy of the country, even though they promised to promote a new constitution. The Fujimori constitution of 1993 was a very neoliberal constitution. It's a very neoliberal constitution. It was a blamed of fraudulent, but in any case, it recognized very strong market principle of free market. And for the economic sector, this is like something that cannot be touched. The political constitution. So even the transition government of Paniagua promised to put constitution process to change the constitution on the agenda. It didn't happen. The next governments didn't touch the political economy of the country. We get very important growth outcomes, economic growth, because of Chinese investment, of massive investment in extractive industry. But at the same time, social mobilization in rural areas was very strong because people didn't get benefits from the economic model. In addition of that, environmental impacts and social impacts increased. So we are a country in which each month the ombudsman records more than 100 social conflicts in rural areas. So the democracy didn't work because people protest and make politics outside the state and institutional channels. So this is one factor. When we get now, in the last 6 years, we had six presidents because all the governments, the politicians, the political class is seen as corrupt. The Odebrecht scandal, you know, the Lavallato scandal also was very important because all post-Fujimori governments financed their political campaigns with money from Odebrecht or other construction groups. So the political class is not legitimate in Peru.
Right.
So this explains like the background of the crisis.
So where are we now with the right wing and the left wing? Like the crisis, Fujimori, you know, he's still a presence, you know, his daughter, you know, you actually wrote an article for NACLA this month where you argue that we are past the point of stating the obvious. We are here because of the miserable failure of two transitions, not of governments, but toward basic programs for social coexistence, the transition from authoritarianism to post-Fujimori democracy. It would seem from your article that Peru is an example on how the scandal isn't that the state broke the law, but rather that they didn't have to, meaning that inherent injustice and corruption in the Peruvian constitution isn't the bug, but rather the feature. This is a deeper foundational problem with Peruvian quote-unquote democracy, correct? Can you share more?
In my view, this is the case because there is the failure of the democratic transition because of what I mentioned with the post-Fujimori governments. So in Lima, social, economic, and political elites, insofar the economic growth is working well, the social conflicts, instability, there is no problem for that. But the people in rural areas, in provinces, in the Amazon, they were not happy with the model as it has been designed. So there is a problem of democracy, but there is also a problem of the transition from the internal armed conflict between the state and Shining Path and terrorist groups in the 80s, and the transition to a post-conflict society. Because after Fujimori, we had the Commission of Truth and Reconciliation. The commission enacted a report, and the report said that the vast majority of victims of the conflict were peasants and rural campesinos. And we need a process of reconciliation, memory, and compensation of all the victims. But what happened? The extreme right groups in the last year, they totally opposed the report, and they started to say more strongly that all people that protest is terrorists. Terrorists from the extreme left. And that, in my view, this explains a lot why we had today almost 50 people died in protests. Because they said, as these people are terrorists or pro-terrorists or narcos or whatever, they have no right to free speech, they have no right to mobilization. And this very aggressive discourse is like the first step for police and military repression. That's why I think also that this is a problem of the transition to a post-conflict society. This, the ghost of terrorism is used by this extreme group to repress social mobilization.
So prior to Castillo's removal from office, could you explain the complexity of his attempt to dissolve Congress and also the Peruvian public's perception of Congress itself? I mean, in your view, did Castillo cause part of this problem because of his dissolution of Congress? Or was it sort of the other way around? He kind of had to dissolve Congress because of the opposition. How do you explain that?
The mass media in Peru is, and you know, these sectors, the political sector, they promote the idea that the old fall is from Castillo when he decided the dissolution of Congress, even though it was impossible in material terms because he had no power for doing that. That's why after he did the speech, in the next hour he was just in jail. So this was absurd dissolution of Congress. But this is, in my view, is not the main reason. The main reason is the political struggle that Castillo and this extreme ultra-right and the right-wing groups, they didn't respect the votes from the rural areas. So the people vote for Castillo. For the first time in history, they vote for a peasant politician. He won the election.
Right. He portrayed himself as a peasant, a man of the countryside, right? Someone that was against sort of the urban center, right? And that he came, that's the best way to present him. Probably had leftist tendencies, but several of his positions, even, you know, the ones that I remember regarding gay rights and other issues that seemed to fall under the left, he showed opposition, right? So that's how we painted. I just wanted to give that context. Please continue.
Yeah, and he ran with a very traditional left party, which is Peru Libre, which is like the is your political manifest of Peru Libre is like reading a left party from the 60s.
Exactly.
But anyway, they won the election. And before Castillo started his mandate, all this group accused Castillo of fraud.
Right.
Fraud election. They hired the most expensive law firms in the conference to prove that this was a fraudulent election. And then they started impeachment process, promoted for any reason. Most of the opposition was not a loyal opposition. They didn't play the democratic game in a fair way. They tried to remove Castillo, but at any cost. The bad thing about it is that Castillo helped the opposition with very wrong designations. So he designated people from the, you know, transport unions, but with very obscure connection with illegal activities. So he helped this court. But to be totally objective and honest, I will say that the right wing and the mass media, which is in Peru, is like very concentrated. So if you watch television, all the channels, they have the same position. There was not a fair political scenario. So the people from the rural areas, they felt that these elites and this media didn't respect the election. They felt that, and today they also felt that there was not a democratic situation. So they have all the right to protest. And that's why today they are going to Lima to protest against this government. So that the situation is very difficult. But this is explained by the democratic deficit in the country.
Before we end, this has been really helpful. But let's talk about Dina Boluarte, right, who after Congress ousted Castillo, she took office in December as the first woman to be the president of Peru. What is the end game here for her government? What's her? Does she have a long runway? Will she get impeached? Like, what's happening with her administration? Obviously, the crackdown on the protesters that's happening and the deaths and, you know, the political instability. But what can you say about Boluarte's administration?
Yeah, Boluarte is the vice president, was the vice president of Castillo. He promised before being designated as president, he promised that if Castillo would be impeached, she would renounce. You know, he said that openly. She would resignate if Castillo was impeached. 2 hours later, she was in the Congress accepting the responsibility of being the president of the country for the whole period, you know, with not having election in advance, just as soon as possible. But she wanted, first of all, to stay the whole complete period of 5 years.
Yeah.
She was very criticized by the people. People started to protest.
Oh, they want her to resign, like in all this. They already want her to resign. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Well, are you hopeful for the future of Peru? Or is this going to be what we're going to see? Is this going to be permanent in your opinion? Or do you think this is just a cycle that will end?
In the short term, I think that she has to leave the office. In the Congress, there is a directive, a table, you know, the president of the Congress that is from the extreme right. So he has to resign also. We have to choose a new president of the Congress, that then he become the he became the president of the Republic, and then the transition will go in with less social conflict. But I don't know if that will be possible. If the Congress will have the ability to elect one of the congressmen or congresswoman to do this transition. I don't know if that will be the case. I hope so, because the other option is that Boluarte is remain in power, or the extreme right president of the Congress became president, but the repression will be the same. So that is the danger, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Roger, I really appreciate your time and your explanation. It's definitely a story that here in the United States is not being discussed. So I know a lot of friends of mine of Peruvian descent are following it. And I really appreciate your time. And thank you for being on Latino Rebels Radio.
You're welcome. I'm happy to help in any way.
All right. So that was Professor Roger Merino. Really appreciate it. I know you know that you haven't been following what is happening in Peru. That's my prediction. Maybe some original Latino rebels like Rodrigo, who is of Peruvian descent. He's been texting me a lot about what's happening in Peru. But as you can see, this has deeper foundational issues that go way back since the time of the Shining Path in the 80s, you know, the Fujimori reaction in the 90s. And just this cycle is just really concerning. And democracy is super fragile. can't take it for granted. So whether it's Brazil, Peru, the United States, got to keep working at it. It's really sad to see so many deaths happening in a country like Peru, a place that I love. And I wish the best for Peru. We'll keep following the story. If you like what you heard, rate and review us. Share this podcast. Follow us at Latino Rebels. Follow me at Julito77. Follow Oscar Fernandez, our producer at the Latino Media Collective. Follow Fernanda Santos, our editorial director. Follow Hector Luis Alamo, our senior editor. We have a mighty little team at Latino Rebels, part of Futuro Media. We're going to keep at this. 9 years of this podcast. 9 years. We got to go for 10. We got to go for 20. If you like what you heard, again, share this podcast and write a good review for me, please. We need some more reviews. Do me that favor, okay? And then tweet at me and tell me you wrote a review. All right, we'll be back next week. And like we always do, we always close out with La Plebe en Venas Abiertas, Julio Ricardo Varela, Latino Rebels Radio. We out of here.
Expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.